From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Howdy, and thanks for spending a little time with us. If you're new here, welcome. This is Gay PHX. And I'm Billy Foster. We are community-powered LGBTQ+ radio station and podcast built to connect people, stories, music, and events across Phoenix and beyond. We exist to share what's happening, amplify voices that deserve to be heard, and remind you that you're not doing this life thing alone. One thing you need to know right up front, not every interview makes it to the podcast. Many conversations air first, and sometimes only, on the Gay PHX stream. The podcast is where we slow down and spotlight a few voices each week. But the station is where community is consistently unfolding in real time. And today's voice is someone who's been a part of the leather community for decades. Someone who's helped build the foundation that a lot of us walk on today, even if we don't know the history. This week, we're sitting down with Leather Rob. Now, if you've been anywhere near social media lately, you've probably seen the buzz around Pillion, the new movie that's got everyone talking about leather culture, chosen family, and what it means to belong. It's out in theaters now, and it's hitting a nerve in all the best ways. So timing felt right to talk to someone who's lived this culture, who helped shape it here in the Southwest, and can tell us what leather really means beyond the stereotypes. Before you see the movie, before you form your own opinions about what leather culture is or isn't, we wanted you to hear from someone who's been in it, building it, protecting it, and passing it on. Also, Brian and I are going to be out this Saturday at Brief Encounters, raising money for Mr. Anvil Phoenix, and it's going to be a blast. We'd love to see you there. Come cheer us on, say hi, and help support a great cause. Details are at gayphx.com. Brian's coming up with what's next about what's happening around town, events you should have on your radar, and where our community is showing up this week. You're in the right place. Let's get into it.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 you thirsty desert darlings. Your desert den daddy is back, and let me tell you, I know where you've been, I know where you're going, and I know exactly where you should be this week. Spoiler alert, it rhymes with Paddle's Bunkhouse. It involves beers, bear, and absolute zero shame. But before we get to the main event, let me tease you with something of what's coming up, because this week, Phoenix is serving body, serving darkness, and just serving. Well, let's just say some of you are going to need a cold shower by Sunday. Hot pick number one, Cornhole League at Boycott Bar, Thursday, March 12th, 8 to 10. The ladies want to know, how's your toss game? And no, we're not talking about your dating history. Well, I see you. Bean bags, brews, and beautiful chaos. Come for the competition, stay for the lingering glances across the lawn. Just remember, it's not about the size of your toss, it's just how you stick the landing. Wink. Hot pick number two, Blackout Party, Charlie's, Friday, March 13th, 11 to 2. Charlie's is cutting the lights and turning up the heat. No lights, no names, no promises, just bodies bumping in the dark and wondering, was that who? Spoiler, it was, and they like it. Bring your courage, bring your best underwear, or don't, and prepare to feel your way around, literally. Hot pick number three, TLC, thick, luscious, and curvy at Newtown Saloon. Sunday, March 15th from 9 to 11. Newtown is getting thick with it. This isn't just an event, it's a worship service. And honey, the congregation is blessed. Bring your confidence, bring your appetite, and leave your skinny jeans at home. More cushion for the pushing. More to love, more to... well, you get the idea. And now for the main event. Thought we were done? Please, we're just getting warmed up. While the Hot Three sizzles, Brief Encounters of the Mankind is about to abduct your Saturday night. This isn't just an underwear auction, and it's full-scale close encounter experience, landing at Bunkhouse on Saturday, March 14th at 9 p.m. All proceeds go to Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025 Travel Fund, helping our local representatives compete on the national stage. Your dollars don't just buy a good time, they fuel the journey. Your faithful correspondent Brian and Billy are walking this one as well. We'll be there to strut in our underwear. Considering this fair warning, nobody's safe from the spotlight. The theme is space, the cause is community, and the only thing brighter than the UFO lights will be the smiles when we raise that travel fund. We'll see you at the bunkhouse. Come for close encounters. Resistance is futile. In closing, Phoenix, that's your hot three for the week. From competitive tossing to groping in the dark to body worship, community doesn't clock out just because the weekend ends. I've been watching, reporting, and observing, doing the hard work for journalism. And yes, the photos are already up on GayPHX Unfiltered, unapologetic. Proof that you people look good when you think no one's looking. Thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being the reason the desert keeps pulsing, sweating, and sparkling after dark. GayPHX exists because of you. We celebrate because of you, and we will always be here. Boots planted, mic hot, slightly dehydrated, and definitely minding everyone's business. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your desert den daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If the market dipped this year, selling losing investments before December 31st can offset gains and reduce your tax bill. Just avoid the wash sale rule. Don't buy the same stock again within 30 days. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the GayPHX podcast.
Today on GayPHX, you're stepping into a part of queer culture that's older than the dance floor, stronger than rumor, and built on trust, craft, and connection. Leather isn't just an outfit. It's history. It's mentorship. It's community. And sometimes it's the crack of a well-made flogger that reminds you you're alive. Today we're talking about power, consent, artistry, and what it really means to carry leather tradition forward in a modern world. From Palm Springs and beyond, please welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Leather Rock.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. It's so great to have you here. And in person, which is a rarity for me. So thank you.
Thank you. This is the kind of podcast setup I really prefer, is because you actually get to see one another and you get more of the human experience. So hopefully that translates to the listeners.
Yes. And the connection, which I feel like we've had since we've met you. The first time we met you was out here in Palm Springs when the AML did their leather event here at Dick's, I believe.
Yes.
And ever since, we've ran into each other. I was like, we've got to get you on. And finally, here we are. And for those in the community who may not know yet, who is Leather Rob?
I am a 31 new inhabitant to Palm Springs, but I've been coming out for the past 8 years. So I've been semi-local over in like Elsinore. And prior to that, I've resided in Chino Hills and LA prior. So I'm a SoCal native, little nomad vagabond who runs around.
Excellent. And what was the moment that leather stopped being curiosity and started becoming part of your identity?
I would say my journey started a lot younger than I would be more advocative for people to be venturing into. But I've been doing this for 17 years now, going on 18.
So people doing the math, that's very early and rare, but that kind of makes you ahead of your time in a certain way, right?
Yeah, I would say like back in the day, it wasn't as PC. I definitely come from like a small town where people are a bit more expecting of younger folk, like getting with older folk, which is not the best thing to happen now. I think we understand grooming, and I think the dynamics of consent and just overall, just most subs don't start the way I did anymore,
right?
Which is good.
Yeah. There are paths now where before it was just the Wild West. You just kind of jumped out there and
for the best. For anybody who's watched Queer as Folk, it's very like Justin Taylor and Brian.
Yes.
And Brian Kinney.
So you're known as a flogger. What does that mean to you beyond the tool itself?
So I am really into impact play, which is flogging, spanking, caning.
So not just flogging.
Yeah. There's posi involved, which is like a forked leather strap, which is pretty fun. I snipped my flare so that way it has a bit more extra bite.
Oh.
Yeah. Some riding crops too and some other stuff. Over the knee spanking is never bad too. It's a great way to start. It's how most of us start in this curiosity.
So how did you get started?
I would say pretty early on, I had family that introduced me to who Betty Page was. And being a young person, of course, you weren't going to be interested in the beautiful woman holding the riding crop. You want to know what she does. So on my end, I watched the Notorious Betty Page on IFC like very young, and I figured out who John Waters was, and IFC pretty much raised me to be a better film critic and overall gave me a very comprehensive sex education, especially with Indie Sex, which was a documentary about BDSM, teenage sex, and taboo.
See, so. Now these are things that I need to explore because I have not. I have heard of John Walters. I've seen maybe one film, but not all of them. So I know about Divine. I have to do history. I've got a lot of homework.
Yeah, I would say I got thrown into John Waters, not with like Pink Flamingos, which is a lot of people's first one. I got thrown into Female Troubles, which is towards the end of Divine's career.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but no, there's so many great people in the queer community who are just punk and a bit more on the edgier side of things. I would definitely say like Gregor Rocky is like definitely very formative to my person. For those who don't know, he's directed Totally Fucked Up. Oh, sorry, Totally Messed Up, I should say. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Is it Totally Messed Up or is it Totally Fucked Up?
It's Totally Fucked Up, but it's censored on the cover for most people.
Got it.
The Doom Generation, Nowhere, The Living End, and so forth. But I got to meet him this past year. It was really awesome. He's one of the most, I would say, influential people in the new queer cinema movement. And nothing was taboo when it came to the subject matter he would tackle.
Interesting. Yeah. I definitely need to do my homework on that. Now, you're talking about impact play. There's an artistry to impact play.
Yes.
How do you describe like the rhythm and the psychologically and the connection involved?
I think that most people who are curious about impact play, they assume that it's all just torture and pain, and it's really not. There is a certain rhythm, like you're saying. I don't know if you can hear this on the...
Yes.
But yeah, there's like a system of paddling that you go with or how you swing. It's definitely like playing tennis.
Okay.
If you're the person who's doing like the flogging, for sure. I mean,
is it the same kind of movement? Is it the same kind of workout?
Or anybody who's done like poi ball.
I don't know that.
So poi ball is what they do in Hawaii or Tahitian or some other places as well in the Polynesian region.
Okay.
There are two balls on a string that you like move in a rhythmic way. So there is like a flow to it. And a lot of people who do rave stuff, you can see them with the longer LED strand.
Okay. Like, I have seen that. Yes.
Strings. Yeah.
I've been to desert parties. So that I have done.
Yeah. Or like the glow balls that are on the strings.
Right.
You can do those too in the same kind of style. So impact play, I would say for me, the meaning and connection and artistry behind it definitely is rooted in how you cater to the person who is being flogged.
Okay.
Or being spanked, etc. Because everybody there is very funny. Because when we were at Anvil recently in Phoenix, when I was there, people were very much hit them harder. And I'm like, that's not the point, is to hit them hard. But also there's music and people chattering about. So you can't really see what I'm doing up close and personal, which is pretty funny. Because I pulled up a heckler and showed him what, with just the basic two floggers I have. There's one that's leather and one that's suede that I use. And the suede one, he was like, this is where I call it. Like, I can't. And I was like, yeah, it's a lot easier when it's just observing rather than feeling it.
And so were any lessons learned by this heckler?
Yes. Don't doubt what I do.
But isn't that kind of the point, though? Do you encourage that so that you can help educate? Because otherwise, they're just going to stay in this. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to assume things, right?
I'm gonna actually talk about somebody named Roland who was over at Anvil.
Okay.
Who was very curious, but very shy. Didn't want to get flogged, per se, but I did position him in front of my boy, Matt, which also shout out to Matt for him listening, if he is. But I put him directly square face-to-face how you and I are.
Yes.
And I bent Matt over and was using my new toys, which are the Viper or Dragon's Tail, as people may call it. That is rubber, a very pointed, thin strip of rubber, and it's sharp. It's incredibly sharp feeling. So in flogging, there's definitely two types of sensations that people prefer, which is a thudding sensation or more of a stinging, sharp sensation.
Okay.
And the Dragon's Tail is pretty much as sharp as you can get aside from single tail. And it is a single tail as well, the one that I have at least, because they do come in doubles as well. But the single one is extra sharp and very quick to draw blood if you don't know what you're doing. So,
ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So Roland was face to face with Matt and you had the new toy out.
Yes. And I had him just like keeping eye contact. And as he looked away, I told him, I was like, hey, face forward all times, giving him that real Dom experience.
Right.
Looking him in the eyes as I'm getting my boy riled up and then also giving him a good hair tug and pushing his face down. But yeah, I mean, there's certain things you go over as well for anybody who is intro into flogging or taking interest in demo. You, of course, want to go over your hand signals because you don't hear people, generally speaking, at a bar environment.
Right.
Or if they're facing forward, like how we position them on the St. Andrew's cross. So you want them to go over their basic hand signals, which for me are pretty simple. It's just hand up for a good hard or down for a bad hard or too hard. And then you can also tell them like to the side for like intermediate, not sure how you're feeling about it, just to keep in contact with their headspace.
So how do you do that? I'm trying to picture. So they're on the cross.
Yes.
So then their arms are not.
No, I okay, don't in just, demo.
Okay.
Keep them.
Got it.
I keep them free. If it's private, which I do private bookings as well.
Okay.
People on the St. Andrew's cross, they have their arm up for good, harder, down, bad, softer.
Got it.
Or like to the side for like intermediate, still thinking about how that sensation feels.
Still processing.
Yeah, which you'd be surprised. There's quite a bit of people who really like the adrenaline rush of something that's going to be a bit more thuddy or singing, but they definitely need to sort out how they really feel about it.
No, I agree, because as we discussed at our little luncheon ahead of time, I'm new to the whole thing. So I've experienced a little bit, mostly because people would tease me and I'd be like, okay, that's interesting. I am curious, but I don't know. I don't know the limits. I don't know where to start or stop or anything. So that's why it's been great to meet you and learn all these things.
Yeah. For somebody who's never had any type of impact play starting, I always typically start off with a hand thud sensation with the gloved hand. On my end, I have leather gauntlet gloves, which are great, but some people may prefer like a rubber glove or a, you can say like a sterile nitrile glove as well, but it's just like a light tapping sensation, which I'm just going to do a little bit on the mic so that you guys can get the ASMR of it. But yeah, it's just tapping them until they're like ready with it. And once they are, I will introduce them to with my beginner flogger, which that one is just a leather one. It's a medium weight, I would say. And the handle is very like firm in the hand, so it's not bad. But my favorite one is from a Phoenix native as well, from Wayne. Wayne makes the best floggers I've ever used, and I want to say this suede one I have is weightless basically in my hand. But the thing about it that's nice is that it drags because it's longer tendrils on it. The actual strings that go across like will drag, but if you want to make it really nice and sharp, it's like whipping a towel, like you see high school friends do in the gym locker room.
Oh, I remember. Unfortunately, I remember that too.
No, it's the best part. I love it. But yeah, I would say like drawing like figure eights just with a typical like gay boy who does you like, welcome to the Disney Channel, like motion.
You got to start somewhere and then you take them up to Nickelodeon and then you take them to the next level, right?
But yeah. It's all very fun.
So now consent is foundational for kink. Mm-hmm. How do you establish trust before scene?
Typically speaking, before I take up somebody who I'm demoing with, I ask them a series of questions, of course, like the hand signal ones I go over. But I also ask, is this your first time that you've had this done? What is your experience level? Because there's not people who go to demo typically who are more experienced.
Right.
So occasionally they'll go support the bar, like AML members or AW or AWOL, I should say. Like Lilith can take a very good one, but there's definitely like Copper too, who I'm like, I wouldn't feel comfortable using the Viper on anybody whose first time is going to be that. I would typically stay with a leather or suede, but then Wayne also did gift me a very heavy new one, which has probably about 16 inch to 18 inch long tendrils. That one is a bit more advanced as well. I do have a metal riding crop as well and a metal cane. Those are surgical steel and custom.
As I shake my head thinking of metal.
Yeah, the thing is with the metal instruments, people are thinking that you're just going to get whacked with it right away. And it's no, it's mostly for pressure sensation.
Okay.
So impact play overall, I would say there's a variety of sensations that you can feel, but it's basically as primal as you can be with body contact.
Okay.
And again, I do have a couple other implements as well. My Enforcer, which is a leather weighted paddle. That's a good one for a medium to heavier play. For most people, again, like if they're first time going, I'm going to stay with them, like keeping their clothes on. Although some people will direct me like, yes, it's okay to take off like my pants and spank me with just a jock strap on at the bar, which depending on the bar's policy, of course. But
we had an interesting one where it was okay. We're just going to say it. So he was not erect and then you flogged him. And not only did he become erect, he was super turned on.
He was dripping. He was dripping pre-com.
And that was incredible. That just blew my mind away watching that. I was like, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah. Listen, not everyone can do it. My boy, even, I took him on there and he got a little excited as well. But yeah, not everyone at the bar, of course, is going to be like in the most erotic situations. But I have in private bookings put people underneath my boot and then use my paddles on them or I guess, like, really dug into it because they've, like, the sensation while I smoke a cigar and being in a very submissive, like, position, which is, to me, like, the brightest part of it because it's putting somebody in that subby headspace that really just gets me going.
Okay.
So I like being the person in control of other people's pleasure or sensations.
Very interesting. I like that. And I love the grin that you've got, too, at the same time. It's making me blush.
Thank you. You guys are way too nice to me.
What do you say to people who misunderstand leather and assume it's just about pain?
For people who don't understand the history behind leather, I think it's important that you get a good book, either like the Leather Boy 101 handbook, which is so good for people who are curious about entering like a sub headspace. If you're interesting in going about like new guard, which is going to be like the newer generation of people coming about, like my age, but they typically will just rush into things and think they know what they're doing. But you do need to go yes. and visit somebody or some club that features BDSM being done by somebody who is tenured. For me, I'm very fortunate because one of my mentors out in Phoenix is Eric, and he's very well respected. He's got a number of subs and hundreds of digits, like he numbers his subs.
Wow.
Which I'm very jealous of. He and his puppy Zoe have an amazing playroom. And I think for people who are on the more curious end of stuff, like the best thing that you can do aside from just going to events where leather is featured, I would say do your supplemental reading, get in familiar context of like people like Betty Page or Tom of Finland, or even just listening to a podcast like Mr. Christopher and Pup Amps, What's the Safe Word? Like there's a lot there for people. I think that the misconception that it's just strictly about pain is a big one. I think many people have desires that they are just too ashamed to admit that they may have. That's beyond just like the normal vanilla bedroom stuff.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. Like I think everybody enjoys the regular stuff, but why not add a little bit extra spice?
Sure. Where you can? Yeah. A lot of people like vanilla. A lot of people like more than vanilla.
Yeah. Those are my friends. Come sit with me.
The ones that beyond the vanilla.
Yeah. So I would say for anybody who's, again, trying to get started, do your supplemental reading. Find a podcast like What's the Safe Word, or you can start even consulting with people on FetLife. If you're really trying to make that kind of social connection, I think that out here, PSLOD does an amazing job, which is Palm Springs Leather, Leather Order of the Desert. They have some amazing resources for people who are starting out. And I think San Diego Boys of Leather and Men of Leather, as well as Avatar or Onyx for people of color, there's space for everybody. And I think that's always a big misconception as well, particularly because there has been precedent out here for some of the larger coalitions that haven't been as tactful with keeping other minorities in leather intact or keeping their situations with the current political climate
in mind.
So
we're in the information age. We're also in the disinformation age.
Yes.
What are some of the trusted resources, or how can we find trusted resources? Because you don't want to just trust anybody necessarily on FetLife. You don't want to just trust any podcast.
Any podcast, but listen.
How can we find reputable ones?
Yeah. I would say like listening to Mr. Christopher or Pup Amp. They're, again, two of the most tenured people that you'll ever see out there. Mr. Christopher Weston is, again, one of my idols in leather. And I've had the fortune of meeting him in person, and it was a wonderful experience at Palm Springs Leather Pride out here in November and October time. That's when usually we'll have it. But finding the correct resources is so imperative, particularly like going to your first leather shop, whether it be gear like what we have out here in Palm Springs or San Diego.
Right.
Kevin, who works there, is the current Mr. San Diego Leather, and he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to, again, being able to find somebody or recommending you sites that you can check out. I think that for most people, they seek it out in the new guard fashion of where sometimes they don't go about it in the most savory way. They just dive head first. But that's, for a lot of people, a big mistake, because if you just go about it to anybody who claims that they're a dom but doesn't actually understand like consent or limits or boundaries or just basically like human autonomy, they can really put you in a negative headspace. It can discourage you from exploring this side of the community further. And I really think that for a majority of like leather shops now, they have a good amount of resources that they can put you in contact with if you're curious, or you can always check out your local leather clubs resources links on their club pages.
And speaking of leather clubs, it seems like Palm Springs has a really strong leather presence. Mm-hmm. What makes this community so unique?
I would say the Palm Springs leather community is integral to its identity. We've got a very long history of men from the barracks back when it was Wolfston,
right,
or you could even say for Toolshed or Dick's, which used to be Eagle 501 back in the day when I started coming out here. But the people out here are amazing. I have to say, Honey Davenport, the current Mr. Palm Springs, is representing the community to the best caliber of their ability. I'm good friends with Ryan Sebastian, who is a former Leatherman as well, or Mr. Palm Springs, I should say, as well, and Drew Kramer. They both are local staples that you would want to be in contact with. They work very different jobs, and the people out here, I think, really put such an emphasis on uniting their community. I would say Peaker, who's as well part of Onyx, he frequents a lot of the Toolshed events, and I've been very fortunate to see him around from LA and out here. And he put me in some great contacts as well.
Yeah, and we've been very fortunate to connect and work with Honey Davenport. Mm-hmm. And we really think it's great because of their exposure to RuPaul and being a more mainstream queen. Mm-hmm. To bring that to leather, too, we think is also great. That gives us a spotlight, an opportunity that we didn't have before.
Yeah, and I would say, too, like, we even have some women out here who are amazing dominatrixes or just in the leather scene as well, which is awesome. I really want everyone to know that leather is for everybody. It's not just for gay men. Everybody is welcome.
Right. The Palm Springs Leather Order of the Desert is men and women. I saw that from their promotional stuff when we came out here. And we had the best time at Leather Pride out here. So much so that it was our first year last year. We're trying to figure out how to make it an every year thing because we're always out here for Pride, which means we have to be out here for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, oh, darn.
No, I know. And there are some bigger community staples that I'm missing as well. And I'm sorry, I can't just include everybody in conversation off the top of my head.
Right.
But the ones that I do know, wow, they really can teach you everything you've ever wanted to know about leather.
Now, has leather taught you anything about yourself that surprised you?
Yeah, it's definitely put me in a position of reclaiming my own sexuality. And I would just say, like, flat out, like, I'm somebody who's experienced some sexual assault and sexual traumas. On my end, like, I was very adverse to experiencing people touching me, and finding in leather that I can give over that kind of power really did help me, like, reclaim my sense of integral sexuality. And it really helped me synchronize with my partners at the time, and coming back to where I am now. Like, my current boyfriend is my sub as well. He's my primary boy, and I have quite a bit of puppies as well.
Excellent.
Because I love the pup community. So
oh, the pup community shout out to has them. Been so amazing. They are, I don't know how to put into words the experience I have with the pup community. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a sexual one. Mm-hmm. It's just one of pure admiration and respect, as far as to be able to let loose and be free like that is amazing to me. And as when I did an interview, they said, embrace the cringe. And I try and take those words to heart.
I don't think it's just the cringe that you should be embracing. Well, but
that's,
too.
What gets you over that ick.
It's
so
relinquishing
speak.
The actual identity politics that we put in every day about being respectable. Right. Some of us want to be denigrated. Some of us want to be in a position of power because we don't feel like we have it otherwise. So on my end, like, BDSM has really been the staple in my life that has allowed me to really be authentic. And maybe for somebody who's, like, a younger kid who sees, like, RuPaul's Drag Race, they see that they find themselves identifying with that. On my end, I didn't always immediately gravitate towards the mainstream queer media. I was always a bit more, like, punk rock, listening to the Sex Pistols from Courtney Love and everything else in between that's heavy metal and gothic.
I was always the outcast of the outcast, so to speak. So I was on that edge, the fringe edge of whatever it is that I was a part of for whatever reason. And I never meant to be. I just always was.
Yeah, finding your people who are a bit more gritty. Because, again, like, I think right now, as we're regressing in politics and the viewpoints that we have towards the queer club scene and bar scene, you can see that people are just starting to make themselves wilt in a way that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
So it's good to see people be so authentically brave to be themselves. And a mind, again, like, leather has really made me come to terms with, like, my own traumas, and also made me confront the things that I was afraid of embracing about myself.
Right. Now, speaking of this, queer spaces are shifting and shrinking. Mm-hmm. How important are leather spaces?
I mean, they're some of the most important, I would say, because again, like, we're mainstreaming, which is wonderful. I want to see people feel included, welcome, and like they can inhabit a space, but it is just as important to have queer only spaces. And I would say too, like, for the leather community out here, we're so fortunate that we have two bars where some towns may only have one.
Right.
And we also do have 541, which is the local club, if you know what you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We talk about the club and how it's our favorite spot. So
yeah,
our listeners are aware.
Or CCBC. Big shout out to CCBC.
CCBC, yes.
Especially during IBC weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine what the pool parties over there for Heat Wave are going to be like.
Yeah, no, they're, again, and I think that the leather community, too, has really been integral in bolstering the charitable causes out here. Like Honey Davenport, I know, puts on for the Trans Health Care Initiative out here exponentially. I know that Ryan Sebastian Pryor had raised the most money that you could, and it was scandalous because he is an adult entertainer. And as much as some of the people prior don't want to admit this, it was not always a welcome space to be inhabiting the adult entertainment industry and leather, which is, in my mind, like, crazy to say, because
wait, what?
I know. It was frowned upon when he took initiative to be a great Mr. Palm Springs, and he raised the most money that we possibly, I can't say for sure, like, the most, but he did raise quite a bit of money.
Okay.
So let me fact check myself before I get in trouble. But he did raise quite a bit of money and raise awareness for the bars out here and for causes for HIV AIDS testing. DAP is always been such an integral part out here in Palm Springs, which is the Desert AIDS Project, for those of you who may not know. And they really provide like community service for testing and HIV AIDS prevention.
And was that all started by him?
No, okay. DAP is under CJ Toby, who is a good friend of mine. He actually gave me my sex education as a young man.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he's wonderful. And for anybody who's looking to get on PrEP or DoxyPEP, definitely talk about it with your provider.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Back in Phoenix, we have a Ripple PHX, which goes around and educates and has a every Thursday.
Yeah.
The Loteria. Now, what advice would you give someone who's drawn to kink but is nervous about stepping into the community?
I'll give you a little bit of one for me. On my personal interest in kink, like, I came out, I'd say, fairly young, but as I stepped into the community bit by bit more, because I've always been in the background, a bit more lurking than participating up until recently, I was fortunate enough to meet David Mosquita, who was a Mr. LA Leather, and he's amazing. He's my idol to me in the community. But if you find yourself at a leather bar, you see that hot guy across the way, or hot gal, or hot person, however they identify, and you make some conversation, ask about, like, where can I start getting involved? How do I start doing what you do? How do I find the resources to start building my own repertoire, whether it be clothing and your wardrobe or your implements and those kinds of things? I think that a lot of people right now are going to be watching, like, Pillion, which is going to be very conversational, particularly because I think the two actors in it are so good. Alexander Skarsgård and Harry Wellington. They're just great looking fellas. And they're going to be on the screen doing 50 Shades of Grey type of stuff.
Because this kind of helps, I think, connect some dots, because I'm really bad with names, but I know the name that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Aaron.
Alexander Skarsgård.
That's it.
No, you're fine.
Yes. Because he's been seen in lots of, like, leather shoots. Is this for this show that you're talking about?
Yes, that's going to be for Pillion, which was featured in select theaters up until, I think, the 24th of this month. It will be nationwide.
So is it a movie?
Yes. Okay. Pillion is, I think, a great way for people to observe motorcycle culture, which is where leather starts from. We have the Satyrs out here in LA, which is the oldest motorcycle club, and one of the first leather clubs that I would say for gay men was available.
And again, our history, part of our integral history that we need to know. These are things, because we're not taught gay history in school. No. These are things that I stumbled across to learn, but I feel our listeners really need to know more of. So,
yeah. So Pillion, I think, is going to be a really great one because it is representative of those things. And from what I've read of the synopsis, which I'm not going to spoil for people, it does introduce quite a bit of the difference between sub and dom dynamics and romantic dynamics as well, which sometimes are not always overlapped, but they can be. I've been very fortunate to say again right now that my current relationship is overlapped with that. And I would say some of my prior relationships haven't always been.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
As a divorcee, I can also understand when you think that there's love there and things change. But anyways, what does power mean to you?
Power to me is really understanding that your authenticity is the integral part of your person. And it's just so awesome to be able to step into it for me, because as somebody who grew up in rather harsh conditions and a very restrictive and repressive Catholic household, I was able to really take the reins on how I curated my image, also learning the things that I have through the people in the community that have mentored me. I've been, again, very fortunate to have some amazing mentors, but I definitely have to look back and recognize the unsavory aspects of my journey in leather and coming to terms with that kind of trauma.
Right.
Because again, like when you're lacking that kind of supervision from somebody who's in a paternal position, you're not always subjugated to care. So on my end, I try to, when I have a sub, really pass the baton and understanding, like, if you want to continue the path of being a sub or eventually become a sir or a dom or master, which there's definitely things that you can do to that path if in regards to old guard, there's work to be done. And it's important for, I think, most doms to really understand, if you're not taking on the role of a sub or a bottom to begin with, you really are missing out on the key elements of understanding and connecting with some of them.
I can agree with that, that if you, I'm not saying that you have to experience a wholeheartedly, so to speak, but you have to have some sort of understanding, some sort of apprehension.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I don't see how you make that connection completely.
Yeah. On my end, I was started by my first sir in a position of power. And then my second one, it was more so being a sub. And on my end, I realized that what I prefer is being in the position of a dom. And right now I currently am a sir. I'm not yet at master's cap level, but I am doing the hard work that it takes to get there, which entails like doing a lot of things for your community. And I think that, again, like putting yourself out there in the forefront, meaning that you're no longer just being behind the scenes or being the person who's too ashamed to admit that this is the journey that you want to explore. Taking the initiative to show up and educate yourself and talk to the people who are instrumental in making your community the way that it is.
That's excellent. That's very key. It's much, from putting it my point of view, because I felt like, as I talked about in lunch, before I came and experienced things with the community, I was not part of the community. And now I've tried to change that, and I've tried to help be a part of the community and help make things happen. And I have a better understanding, and I understand that connection better too.
Yeah. And I think the other part of, I'm sorry, I'm going to circle back a bit, but when you're talking about like understanding that it's more than just pain that brings this community to what it is that there is so much spaces that allow for you to explore your desires in an uninhibited way, where whether it be disassociating from your corporate job and doing puppy play, or being somebody who likes breath control, or have your nipples played with, or you happen to be in a position where you're more extreme kinks, in a position of denigration, perhaps you want to have someone piss on you. You never know.
Right.
I think every flavor of kink and BDSM is valid. I have to check in and be like, what about this don't I find respectable?
Right.
And if I find something that I don't want to engage in, but I always have to keep in mind, regression for some people looks different and how they process trauma is different. And the wonderful thing about the BDSM community too, is that it allows you to process those things in an active way that's role-playing and safe if you're with somebody who understands what they're doing.
Right. How do you keep your own fire alive creatively, sexually, spiritually?
On my end, I'm incredibly passionate about being part of the community and showing up to events and being so openly queer, I think is so important in my own journey. Again, I come from a rather Catholic family that wasn't always embracing of my identity. And I've been so fortunate to start shedding the traumas that left me with and really stepping into the sense of power that I get when I put on leather. There's something about it that when you put it on and you feel it against your skin, it's so innate to change how you look. I think you've seen the way that I look at people.
Oh,
when
yes.
I'm actually very happy with them.
Yes. When you, there is a certain glow, I'll say, about you when you are in your leather blues and in your moment. It was a beautiful sight. That's just the only words that I can say. And it's amazing. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because seeing you radiate shows me that this is something that you are into, that you love, that you care about. And that's the kind of passion that I wanted to bring to the mic get people to understand that it's not just kink. It's not just this, that there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
There is deepness there.
Yes. I think for a lot of people, especially elders in the community, which I really cannot emphasize enough, is so important that you address them and notice them and talk to them at a gay bar if you're a younger person or just somebody who hasn't seen a lot of representation for yourself. You talk to these people and you understand alternative sexuality was a way around HIV/AIDS impacting some people's lives. So BDSM, I think, is an important thing for so many people from the 80s who had seen these things take place and still wanting to have a sex life and still feel like they can have passion. And I think more so now than ever, again, like the younger guard that we have coming in really needs to take some initiative to talk to these people. They can teach you how to better your own form, your own technique. They can give you direction or gift you with something that you may not have had. Like for me, Wayne, who is again a person in Phoenix, he's amazing leather craftsman. I can't do what he does. I wish I could.
But yeah, Wayne makes amazing floggers and they're beautiful. And I don't even know anything about flogging, but I've seen them and I'm like, wow, these are really cool.
Yeah. And I've been so fortunate that he's gifted me some. And for me, most of my leather has been gifted to me. So yeah. It has a meaning. It has a history. It's been passed down. It's not something that I went out and bought myself. But if you have the means to, by all means, but treat it with care. Learn how to do it correctly. Ask people who have done what you want to do, how they go about it and where to improve.
Now, you're talking about the new guard coming in, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the leather community heading in the next 5 years? Also considering our current political situation.
It's funny because as somebody who's a native Angeleno from Los Angeles, I love seeing the Latin community really come out and represent the way that they have. I will say that there is a older, more established guard that has been there that has been less than welcoming to some of the trans people or people of color, which is unfortunate. But right. I really, that they still throw it in the face of the people who are criticizing it to be like, make your own then. Guess what? We started to have.
Right.
We see Mr. Encuardo, who just took his first title. And I can't remember his name off the top of my head because I've only met him a handful of times and the event was very quick. But seeing something like that, where you're taking initiative to create more events, more space, more inclusivity, and talking about the issues that are needing to be addressed, whether it be representation of trans people taking space in queer bars, which I think is so essential because we wouldn't have any of the rights that we have without trans people.
I know,
people
that's of color. Which is what blows my mind. I'm getting on my soapbox here, but anyone who tries to divide us from the T in our alphabet drives me nuts because I don't understand how you can be a gay man, woman, whatever person, know what you've been through, know that what it was like to not be accepted, and then turn around and throw that on someone else in our community. I don't understand it.
I don't either. And listen, there are certain uniforms that I'm glad are being put away in leather. We should not see Nazi memorabilia on the current stage of IML, which is International Mr. Leather. There was a huge scandal with that. And I really cannot say how now more than ever, it's important that we are inclusive, that we take the time to understand and educate ourselves on the issues that involve our community. Or you see somebody who has been bashed or excommunicated, you want to understand as to why they are experiencing those things.
And we need, I believe in tradition, but I also believe that traditions need to evolve with our culture and our times.
Yeah, I got into it with somebody from that old, sorry, I'm not going to name them, but I did get in trouble with somebody in there for speaking out against how they really came at me in a way where they're like, you need to be grateful because I paved the road for you. And I was like, and guess what? I'm going to repave that road for everyone to walk on.
Right.
I cannot emphasize that enough, that if you did the work for yourself as somebody in the queer community and you exclude people, and whether that be from their body size or the body type that they have or their transness or cisness or however they present. It's so bizarre to me. We're at this age of where everything is so accessible that there's no excuse.
And we've seen that being open and understanding, being accepting, having the bigger tent is ultimately what is best.
Yeah.
Look, I know I'm an Apple fanboy and everything, but Apple did not fall for the DEI. They didn't capitulate. And look, at they're still the most valuable company in the world. And everyone wants to do business with them. Why? Because they're not exclusionary.
Yes.
I don't understand anyone who wants to exclude anything when we're trying to build, trying to grow, and trying to unite. Again, getting on that soapbox. I apologize.
No, you're great. I think it's important to talk about it.
Yeah. Back to the someone who's interested in exploring impact play. What's the very first thing that they should educate themselves on?
I think the most important thing for people to recognize is their own boundaries and also communication. Those are so important when you're getting into any type of BDSM. You'll never know immediately until you start addressing it and understanding if you have any past traumas or injuries or anything else in your life that may be long lasting on yourself. Your psyche is the first thing that you should be concerned with. And the person that you're involving yourself with, if you're a sub, make sure that they handle you with care. And if you're entering the space as a dom, that you understand that maybe what feels good for you doesn't feel good for your sub.
Right.
You need to understand that, like, harder doesn't mean better.
to the heckler.
Yeah. Especially, too, because I...
And it's not like Hollywood. I often talk that it's not like you go to the bar and you see a sir and you're just like, oh, and then you instantly connect and everything. Everybody knows everything about each other and you just go have fun. That's not how it happens.
No.
There's lots of things that's cut out in those Hollywood fantasies, in those dreams, which is where you talk about consent and you talk about limits and you talk about safe words and you talk about all these things.
Yeah. And I have to say, too, a lot of the media that we have about BDSM isn't always the most accurate to the lived experiences of people. For example, 50 Shades of Grey goes over contract slavery, which I'm like, that's a rather hefty subject to be right. addressing with less than 3 minutes of care.
In an hour and a half movie.
Yeah. But gosh, Dakota Johnson. I love that woman. She's wonderful. But no, I think that for many people who fantasize about it, the most like touch base thing that you could ever do is, again, be involved or show up and ask questions and then try to figure out where you can finesse your way into that system.
Excellent. How can listeners follow you and keep up with what you're doing online?
You can find me on Instagram at LTHR.ROB. That's where I am majority of the time. If you're trying to get a hold of me, it's the best way to message me or to get my insights on anything that you may be curious about. And for events that I have, nothing too much, but I may make my way back out to Phoenix for the title of Mr. Anvil for the people that are going to be out there. Yes. I may be there as a spectator. And if there's anything going on in Palm Springs, I'm usually over at Dick's or at Tool Shed.
Excellent. Yeah. Awesome. Again, thank you so very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I've always wanted to be a guest on your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about partner notification. If you've ever tested positive for an STI, informing past sexual partners can be a challenge, but it is an act of care. A friendly conversation can remind others the importance of testing, treating, and staying healthy. It's not about blame or shame. It's about respect, honesty, and quality healthcare for one another and owning up to the intimacy that we share. So if a past sexual partner informs you about such matters, that you might have been exposed to an STI, be cool about it. Say, thanks for letting me know, I'm on it, and be grateful that testing, and if need be, treatment, is available for us all. Being friendly means let's look out for each other's health.
Pride lives here.
Okay, before we wrap up, a couple of things. If you enjoyed this conversation with Leather Rob, there's more where that came from. Our full archive is always available at gayphx.com. Every interview, every story, every voice we've been lucky enough to share. And GayPHX Radio is live 24/7, so whenever you need a reminder that you're part of something bigger, we're right here. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but Brian and I are going to be doing brief encounters this Saturday to raise money for Mr. Anvil Phoenix. We genuinely love to see you there. Come cheer us on, have a drink, and support someone who's going to represent our community on a bigger stage. Details at gayphx.com. And if you haven't seen Pillion yet, seriously go. Support leather stories being told on. Support the culture that people like Leather Rob has spent decades building and protecting. It's worth your time. That's it for this week. I'm Billy Foster. Remember, you belong here. However you show up, whatever you're wearing, whoever you love,
You belong here. We're building something special in Phoenix, and you're a part of it. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Until then, take care of yourself and each other. If you see us out and about, let's grab a selfie. We love you, Phoenix.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.